Someone to Watch Over Me by Evan Moore. Read by Aqua Blue Jay. Part 2 of the Grim Numbers series. Summary. When a certain Portland police detective comes to New York City, he becomes the next person of interest. Unfortunately, the team has no way of knowing how much trouble Nick Burkhart is bringing with him. It's certainly enough to give a Fuchsbau heartburn. Chapter 1. Detective Lionel Fusco leaned back in his desk chair and closed his eyes wearily. However much he disliked writing reports and filling out paperwork, he was glad that Wonder Boy hadn't called lately with another impossible assignment that could get him killed or sacked by internal affairs. Much to his pleasure, it had been positively peaceful in the precinct for the last few days, if such a thing was possible for a homicide task force. Of course, that usually meant that something was about to go terribly, horribly wrong for him. He was a bit philosophical about it at this point. No doubt Wonder Boy or his friend with the glasses would call it any minute, and he'd have to go off on some seemingly arbitrary job, following someone, or maybe planting evidence, or borrowing a case report. Part of him wanted to find out where they got their information, but self-preservation, which had always been a key ingredient of his genetic makeup, told him to stay as far away as possible. He was a Fuchsbau, not a rampaging bloodbath, after all. Let Carter meddle in that sort of stuff. Detective Fusco? A voice interrupted his meanderings. Lionel opened his eyes to see a man standing next to his desk, a moderately tall, athletic fellow with dark hair and brilliant blue eyes, and no doubt a charmer with the ladies. The pudgy detective sat up straighter in his chair, not bothering to hide a reflexive annoyance at the man. "Yeah, that's me. Who are you?" he demanded. The man's eyebrows twitched in slight confusion. "I thought you knew I was coming. Detective Nick Burkhart, Portland Police Bureau, ringing any bells?" He lifted the hem of his shirt a bit to reveal a shiny gold shield on his belt. The Fuchsbau glowered as he rose to his feet and offered his hand to shake. Perfect, just perfect. Pretty Boy was a detective. "So you're the guy here for the glorified ride-along?" He'd forgotten about it. Understandable when trying to juggle normal police work with managing his work with HR and Wonder Boy. This guy might be a problem if he looked a little too closely at Fusco and Carter's extracurricular activities. Despite Lionel's grumpiness, Pretty Boy didn't seem put off. "Hey, I'm just a last-minute stand-in here. The guy who was supposed to come caught chickenpox from his kid at the last minute." Lionel shuddered slightly. He hated getting sick. "So your captain stuck you with the job of coming to New York to learn the latest and greatest in police strategy and tactics from the elite homicide task force," he replied sarcastically. Pretty Boy flashed a charming grin. It was already grating on Lionel's nerves. The guy really was too pretty to be a real cop. "Hey, I don't mind it so much. I actually grew up about 100 miles north of here, in Rhinebeck." "Really?" Lionel actually didn't care in the slightest, but Pretty Boy didn't seem to notice. "You should meet Carter, my partner. One of them, at any rate. Sadly, the least annoying. She's around here somewhere." Lionel glanced around vaguely. Maybe he could foist this guy off on her, or one of the other detectives. Though, with his luck, he was stuck with Pretty Boy. He always got stuck with the worst jobs around the precinct because these guys thought he didn't deserve to be here. Unfortunately, they were right. Pretty Boy opened his mouth to say something, but Lionel's phone abruptly rang, neatly cutting him off. The Fuchsbau checked the caller ID. AYPD. "Answer your phone, detective." Cute. He grimaced in annoyance. Perfect timing. Just perfect. "Excuse me, I gotta take this. Ex-wife," he lied. Pretty Boy threw up his hands with another brilliantly white grin. "My partner's got 3 or 4 of those. I know how it is. Go ahead. I'll wait." Lionel stepped quickly into an empty office and answered the call. "Your caller ID gets cuter every time, you know that?" "We have a new job for you, Detective Fusco," came the voice of Wonder Boy's friend with the glasses, calmly ignoring Lionel's quip. "Well, that might be a little problematic at the moment," he objected in a low voice, glancing out the window at Pretty Boy, who was sitting on the edge of his desk. "I got a detective from Portland hanging around the precinct. He's going to notice something if I disappear on him."
"Yes, I'm aware of that, detective," the prim voice continued smoothly.
We need you to keep an eye on him. What? Why? Just do your job, Detective, and we'll get back to you. Don't let him out of your sight. With that, Mr. Glasses hung up on him. Great. Just great. Lionel heaved a sigh and put away his phone.
Locating subject. Subject located. Checking databases. Name, Burkhart Nicholas. Social Security number, --++-5422. Date of birth, 6-18-82. Place of birth, Rhinebeck, New York. Occupation, Portland Police Bureau. Active. Violence probability index, high. Threat category, non-relevant. Threat level, high. Immediate action required.
Chapter 2. Nick Burkhart didn't get the welcome he'd been hoping for. He does, however, get a case. Nick's introduction to the NYPD Homicide Task Force hadn't gone nearly as well as he'd hoped it would. Detective Fusco didn't exactly roll out the red carpet for a visiting out-of-state colleague, did he? He raised an eyebrow as he watched the slightly overweight detective step into an unoccupied office to take his phone call. No doubt this was the guy on the bottom of the food chain in this precinct, especially if his attitude was anything to go by. Nick nudged a Dutch for Dummies type book out of the way to sit on the edge of Fusco's desk. The desk also featured a silly-looking cop doll, which no self-respecting police detective would actually display if it weren't a gift from a loved one. Fortunately, Juliet hadn't really been the type. Juliet. Nick sighed deeply. The situation with Juliet was not growing any easier for either of them, and he was getting increasingly frustrated with sleeping on the couch. He jumped at the opportunity to get out of Portland for a while, much to the ill-concealed relief of Monroe and Hank. His friend's concern for his well-being was appreciated, but unless they could cure her amnesia, there wasn't much a bloodbad or a fellow detective could do. With Rosalie out of town, looking after her ill aunt, a slammed drawer drew his attention to the desk across from Fusco's, where a handsome, dark-skinned woman in a professional-looking pantsuit tapped away at a few keys on her computer as she leaned over her chair. She had obviously just come in and was already on her way out when she noticed him and frowned, her eyes narrowing. She seemed about to say something to him when Detective Fusco came out of the empty office, his phone call apparently a short one. Carter, Fusco said with a nod. This, then, was the man's partner, much better than he probably deserved in Nick's estimation. We got another body, Fusco, the other detective informed him grimly. Nick stood up and extended his hand to the woman. I'm Nick Burkhart, Portland Police Bureau. Joss Carter, she replied, with a firm handshake and a tight smile, though she seemed much less annoyed at his presence than Fusco did. You must be our ride-along that's been on the books for months. They picked a hell of a time to actually make it happen. Nick cocked his head slightly in curiosity. How so? We've had a series of murders. Got a lot of people on edge. You know the phrase, ripped limb from limb? She asked, not a scrap of humor in her voice. Nick nodded briefly, and she continued. Well, this gives a whole new meaning, and we just caught another one, on the steps of a church. Part of him, at any rate. Any connection between the victims? Nick asked, frowning a bit. This question Fusco answered as he grabbed his jacket and pulled it on. Only that they were all wearing red. Red? Yeah, red, the grumpy NYPD detective repeated, as if he thought Nick were an idiot. Maybe he did. But Nick knew something these guys didn't. A certain type of person who went crazy for the color red. What is it? Carter asked, noticing his expression. Nick shook his head, smiling to cover up his unease. Nothing. Well, come on then, we don't have all day. Fusco gestured impatiently as he led the way out of the bullpen. As he sat in the back seat of their sedan on the way to the crime scene, Nick stared out a window at the sidewalks, packed with pedestrians. It shouldn't have surprised him, really. If there was a large number of Vessin in a city the size of Portland, how many more could be found in the crowded streets of New York? For all he knew, Either or both of these detectives could be Vesson, too. Unless he saw them vogue, even he couldn't tell. The red clothing of the victims had instantly caught his attention. His very first case as a Grimm, as Aunt Mary lay dying, involved a rogue bloodbad tearing apart a co-ed wearing a red hoodie, and later kidnapping a little girl in a red sweater, intending to fatten her up for a future meal. That case had been bad enough, but a rogue bloodbad on the loose in the giant sardine can that was New York City? Bloodbaden were basically on the top of the Vesson food chain, brutal and violent and almost unstoppable when enraged. Almost. A well-placed bullet could kill them just as effectively as any human, luckily. If you got the chance to draw your gun before the bloodbad ripped your arm out of its socket. Looking back on that first case, he realized how unbelievably lucky he'd been. Strange, he mused, how cases involving Vesson always seemed to come across his desk. Stuffing his hands deeper in his pockets did nothing to dispel the chill creeping up his fingertips.
Accessing camera feed. NYPD Traffic Cam, Church Street, Barclay Street. Tracking assets, Carter J. Fusco L. Tracking target, Burkhart N.
Chapter 3. The entire front of the church was blocked off with bright crime scene tape, and uniformed officers did their best to keep the crowds back. This was the fourth murder in the last month and a half with the same M.O., Vic ripped apart, torn to pieces. The gory scenes had turned even Lionel's cast-iron stomach. There was no apparent connection between any of the victims, aside from scraps of red fabric from what remained of their clothes, and the faint but still recognizable scent of a bloodbad. Of course, Lionel couldn't exactly put that in a report, any more than he could explain to Carter how he could smell it. "Oh, yeah, Carter. By the way, I'm really a supernatural creature related to a fox. Hey, how about that cup of coffee?" "Yeah, that would go over well." The strange thing was that the first three murders had all occurred in a distinct pattern. One a week for three consecutive weeks, consistent with bloodbad and feeding habits. And then nothing. Lionel had assumed that the bloodbad had either been killed or moved on. And now, out of the blue, 3 weeks later, a new bloodbad attack? He couldn't exactly follow up on the bloodbad angle himself either. A Fuchsbau simply did not go around asking questions about bloodbaden, even if the Fuchsbau in question happened to be a cop. At best, they'd laugh in his face. At worst, they'd eat his face for dinner, along with the rest of him. It was all extremely frustrating. And to make things worse, he and Carter were saddled with Pretty Boy from Portland, who was apparently going to be the next recipient of Wonder Boy's attention. As soon as they arrived at the crime scene, their visitor-slash-target immediately got out of the car and checked in with the clipboard-carrying uniform who controlled the crime scene. Carter stopped Lionel from following suit with a tense hand. "I think he knows something, Fusco," Carter said in a low voice. "What could he know, Carter? He just got here," pointed out Lionel, glaring through the window at Pretty Boy, who was busy signing his name on the clipboard. "Though apparently he's got decent security on his phone. That Force Pair app that Mr. Glasses gave me didn't work on it." "Our mutual friends tell you to keep an eye on him?" his partner asked pointedly as her frown deepened. Lionel grimaced. "Yeah, don't let him out of your sight. As if I didn't have a day job. Or a night job." Carter still looked concerned. "Did you see his face when you said that all the victims wore red?" "What does this have to do with anything?" Lionel asked impatiently. "It was like it meant something to him," his partner insisted. Lionel already knew what the red clothing meant. Feral bloodbaden were attracted to the color red, in a sort of homicidal feeding frenzy sort of way. But Pretty Boy couldn't be Vesson. He didn't have any distinct non-human scent to him, something shared by all Vesson. "Who knows?" he said, dismissively. "Probably your imagination." "Maybe," but Carter didn't look convinced. "Hey, Carter, crime scene, remember?" As crime scenes went, it was brutal, bloody, and horrific. Limbs were scattered haphazardly across the stairs that led up to the church door, and drying blood coated the concrete. The torso had been shredded and disemboweled, and the head perched upright at the top of the stairs, eyes gouged out of their sockets. At first glance, it definitely seemed like the feral bloodbat had struck again. But something was off. It took a moment for Lionel to put a finger on it after he controlled his heaving stomach, but he realized abruptly that there was too much gore. The previous attacks had all been feeding frenzies, with goodly portions of the victim being consumed by the attacker. This was just as vicious as a bloodbat attack, but the guy appeared to be mostly still there, albeit in many tiny pieces. Of course, Lionel wasn't going to stop to count the pieces to make sure of this. That was what medical examiners were for, and he was more than happy to leave that particular job to them. Steeling himself, he knelt down next to that freakishly staring head, gingerly avoiding the bloodstains on the concrete. Angling himself to ensure that no one could actually see what he was doing, he inhaled deeply. His senses weren't as keen in his human form, but he could still catch a whiff of something undeniably canine. He could probably vogue to learn more, but he suddenly felt a tingling on his back. Craning his neck, he saw that Pretty Boy was standing right behind him, an affable expression on his face. "He got anything to say?" Pretty Boy quipped wryly, his brilliant blue eyes shining with humor. Lionel snorted and stood up, carefully hiding his discomfort. "Not to me, he doesn't. You ever see anything like this before?" he said, gesturing to the carnage before them. The other detective's expression abruptly turned grim. "Actually, something a bit similar, yeah." He nodded darkly. "Coed." "Huh." Lionel's eyebrows shot up briefly. Maybe this was what Carter had been talking about him, knowing something. Could it be he'd actually ran into a feral bloodbat in Portland? "You catch the guy?" Pretty Boy's jaw worked momentarily before he answered, "Yeah, and rescued the little girl he'd kidnapped." "What happened to the guy?" Lionel asked, wondering how Pretty Boy could have possibly survived an encounter with a feral bloodbat. The Portland cop snorted, his eyes now as hard as any 20-year veteran. "My partner shot him," he replied simply. Lionel decided his initial assessment of Pretty Boy was wrong. There was something really rather disturbing about the expression on his face, cold and angry and tired. "Dead?" The strange look on Pretty Boy's face vanished, replaced by the amiable smile. "Very," he asserted emphatically.
Recording phone call, outgoing 646-555-...
"Hello? Il est ici. Good. And don't screw this up like the others. Do what needs to be done. Yes, sir. Je comprends. You'd better." This has been chapters 1 through 3 of Evan Moore's Someone to Watch Over Me. Special thanks to my brother Lance for being the voice of the machine. All music was borrowed directly and shamelessly from Season 2 of Person of Interest. Phone sound effects courtesy of Joji Kiba on YouTube. Thanks for listening. And now, some bloopers.
Place what over. The hell does... Okay.
Go for it. Just keep on.
Excellent. So the year that... Ah yes, the 9 o'clock train. Also the cat. I broke it. Uh-oh. Still, no.
5XXXX, that's not.
At best, they'd laugh in his face. At worst, they'd eat his face.
Alright, I'll take it.